Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see? You start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful of the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan, live in the flesh. If you pinch me, I'll scream. Been away for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I guess, and I'm actually going to be away for another 3 weeks, and then I'll be back probably for the rest of the summer. So thanks for tuning in. What a gorgeous, gorgeous spring day it was, huh? Everything all washed clean by the early morning or late night rain. And then everything just seemed so vivid and beautiful, and roses everywhere and a nice breeze stirring up the pollen, but keeping everything cool as well. Had to say many thanks to the Sterling family for hosting yet another wonderful Earth Day celebration this year. The special guest and speaker was Sandra Day O'Connor, and she gave a really, really moving talk about growing up in Arizona and how very important water was, and about looking to the sky, wondering if those dark clouds were going to come in, and then how beautiful the raindrops glistened like jewels on the leaves after a rain. She really just focused on the importance of water, and it was great to hear. It was great to see her, and she's kind of a tiny, tiny little thing, very sort of delicate. I always pictured her much taller, but of course that's how it looks in pictures of the Supreme Court. And, you know, she was the first woman on the Supreme Court, and I got a chance to talk to her, and I asked her what might be the most trivial question anyone has ever asked her, but I was very curious. Was it hard for her to get robes? And I thought that there would be some, oh no, we were issued robes, you know, they just, you know, they measure you and then you know, you get your robes as part of your job. And she said, yes, it was actually very difficult to get her robes. She got one in Paris. She got one in London, but it was a challenge. I thought, well, there you go. That, I'm glad I asked that question. Anyway, it was a lovely day, at Iron Horse Vineyards, and it happens every year. And they poured their Ocean Cuvée, I think it's called. We can find out. It was released for one of the very first Earth Days, and a portion of the sales of each of the bottles goes to, I think it's a National Geographic fund that does good things for the ocean. So there you go. Thank you, Iron Horse. And tonight we have returning for, I don't know how many times you've been here now, Paula, but you are always a great guest. It is Paula Downing.
Hi.
With a different hat on today, and also Chris Chappell. Did I say it right? Chappell?
Chappell.
Chappell, okay. Chris Chappell, he is in the band The Incubators, so you may have heard him on Brian's show here on KRCB, but he's here in another capacity from Rambler's Way Farm, and we are talking about the Wool Festival. It is the first annual Wool Festival that is coming up May 17th and May 18th. Paula, do you want to give us an overview?
Well, an overview. The wool...
Well, the date and all that kind of, you know.
Okay, so the days
facts.
are May 17th and 18th, and it's in Valley Forge. If you've never been to Valley Forge, or if you don't spend much time in Valley Forge, it's one of those places that makes you just feel good by going there.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
yeah.
so sweet, and so it's like going into the last century or the century before. I'm going to England, in the back country in England or something. It's a wonderful little place. And it's, so it takes place in Valley Forge, right downtown, and it's the brainchild of Arianna Strozzi and Casey Mizuki, and they opened a woolen mill there, which for me personally, I'm from the East Coast, I'm from Rhode Island, there were, when I grew up, you know, you made a dollar an hour working in the woolen mill or the jewelry mills. I mean, there were hundreds of mills of all
really?
Kinds everywhere. It was just, Maine was the same thing. That's where Rambler's Way is in Maine. I mean, mm-hmm. there was just all this manufacturing and there was small family stuff. And so I have a nostalgia piece that goes with that because mm-hmm. when I was in high school, I made $1.10 an hour working in the mills, right? But it was a lot of money in those days. So there's a nostalgia piece, but I went to the mill because one evening, Arianna hosted some Basque people from the Basque country. There were like 8 or 10 of them, and there was a dinner, and so she hosted them. And then so I got to tour the mill. That was like a year ago or something like that. And it's one of those places you go in there. I knit, so I really like wool. I like the way it feels. I like the way it smells. And then there's the sheep running around all over the place. And so there's this whole piece of sweetness about that mill.
And it's real. I toured it as well.
Yeah.
And it's so hands-on.
Yeah.
Lately, so many things just happen that we don't see.
Yeah.
Maybe there's all stainless steel and things happen
behind
the machinery.
Yeah.
But this is, I love the way they wash the wool.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in, they put it in a sink, they put some water on it, you know, it's just, and then they use, they have an old domestic washing machine, and they just put it in for the spin cycle to get the water out initially.
So
it's very, you know, people bring in their fleeces, and it goes through that process, and you can visually see every bit of it. And, you know, and we have so many sheep here. We've been known for lamb for a really long time.
I think I read the Ag Department report recently, and I think it said there were 29,000 sheep in Sonoma County, and the economic value is, you know, several million dollars. I don't remember numbers, but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. We make a lot of money on sheep. And this was a throwaway product. The wool is a throwaway product
people,
up until this point.
Yeah, and people like Deborah Walton of Canvas Ranch and a number of others, they actually paid because, you know, you take it to the dump.
Yeah.
She tried for a long time. She mulched with it.
Oh, yeah?
But then she found that rodents loved that nice warm little blanket, so it attracted a lot of mice to her farm.
Uh-huh.
So they would take it to, you know,
the landfill,
and they would pay.
Uh-oh.
And some would still use it in like culverts and stuff to stop the, you know, you know, stop soil erosion.
Yeah.
But it's now with the availability of, well, it actually started a bit before that mill. There's a mill in Yolo County.
Right.
And then there's one problem in California, including here in Sonoma County, that makes really large scale wool processing impractical, and that's water. It takes a lot of water. So when Joe Posey started his Sonoma Wool Company, because he raises meat sheep.
Yeah.
He sends it to Texas to be processed because the water is not such an issue there. And he does so much. There's no mill in California that could process that amount.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't just use his own sheep. He also uses a lot of North Coast sheep. And all of them, he's an organic farmer, but he also has humane standards for how the animals have to be treated.
Uh-huh.
And so it's certified. His wool is certified. And it's used in bedding.
Yeah.
It's primarily in bedding.
Uh-huh. So, well, that's what I think mostly what they make at the mill, what Arianna and Casey make at the mill, is comforters. And I have one that I bought. There was a store in Sebastopol like 20 years ago.
I remember that store, yeah.
So I bought a wool comforter from them. I still have it. I love it.
Hazel.
Oh, you bought one from Hazel?
From Bodega Pastures,
yeah.
Yes, I bought a wool. Because one thing, and this is a good time to talk about it. And Chris, you jump in anytime. Somebody, when I was actually writing this article, when I was doing my research about wool, started reading all about it, and there are allergy benefits. Wool doesn't hold dust mites and all the other allergens as down does. And I loved my down quilt, so I did a ton of research. I thought, okay, and I ordered a comforter from Hazel, and I got it. And now I've also ordered pillows, but her wool, she sends her wool somewhere else.
Yeah, I forget just, where.
Yeah, it's the Midwest. Just there's not enough capacity yet.
Yeah.
Mercantile was full, I think, from the minute they opened
their
doors.
Yeah, as soon as the word got out. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, all those, you know, it doesn't contain allergens, and it's also something you can use year-round, which I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. You probably know about allergens. Yeah.
It's naturally bacteriostatic, so it's it creates an environment that bacteria can't really grow in, mainly because it's a hair. It's a, you know, it's not a cellulose fiber like cotton.
Which, but what about the difference between it and down?
Well, down is a feather.
And so it doesn't it.
Well, I know that wool is a protein like hair. Whereas cellulose is a plant-based.
Okay.
I would assume down is also a protein. But I didn't know that about the allergens. But I know that, you know, that's the reason why it's great to wear, because, you know, you can walk around for a week and you're not going to smell, you know? You're not going to have body odor, right? Because the wool is just taking care of that.
And there's a woman, a young woman, another story I did, and I think the same issue, on the tiny house movement. You know, we had tumbleweed tiny houses and actually still do. Well, this young woman who lives in one in the Half Moon Bay area, and I asked her, you know, what's the deal with clothes? You know, what if you love your shoes? And she wears almost 100% wool clothing. And she says she's just pared everything down to what she really loves. And she told me this website. And it's very fashionable. It's woven into very thin cloth, mostly merino wool. And there's these cute little dresses and skirts and stuff. And she said she just has what she absolutely has to have. And because it's wool, it doesn't have to be cleaned anywhere near as often.
That's right, yeah.
I was so surprised by that. It was a real this whole thing has been a real revelation to me. And I really love it. And now there's going to be this big celebration. So, Chris, let's bring you all the way in. What is Rambler's Way Farm?
So we're in an apparel, ethical fashion, we like to call it. Sustainable apparel is the movement. There's a lot of that going on in Europe. We were at a show recently in Berlin. Around ethical fashion, and you know, for them, it's all about the workers and getting treated fairly, and you know, everything that happened in Bangladesh. You know, that's they just frown on that. For us, it's all about bringing back, you know, to America the textile industry, and wool was central to a lot of, you know, the spinning and the weaving and the knitting. In the Carolinas primarily. And a lot of that technology has gone elsewhere. And not only I mean, we can get the machines back, but it's the people that know how to keep the machines running. That expertise is also gone overseas. So to bring that back and have it all done here in America, it's not easy to do. But there's a lot of people who are very interested in making this movement a reality. And we just happen to be a sort of on the front end of it, focusing primarily on wool. We do some Pima cotton grown here in California. But most of our wool is, even though we're based in Maine, we do have a small farm. We have sheep of Rambouillet. And Rambouillet is the primary breed of sheep here in America. It's a cousin of Merino, and technically you can call the wool from Rambouillet Merino. You can sell it as such, and Merino has a name. People
recognize Merino.
People don't recognize Rambouillet, and we're all about promoting what Rambouillet is about. In the early 1800s, the Australians wanted a small sheep for growing wool, and they got the Merino from Spain. American ranchers wanted a dual-purpose sheep where they could have meat and wool, so they got the Rambouillet, a bigger sheep, from from France. Both are long staple fibers. They're meaning that the hairs grow at least 3 or 4 inches, mm-hmm. And they grow very fine if you're feeding them the right stuff, grazing the right way, and treating them the right way. Uh-huh. They'll grow fine. And Rambouillet are known to have very fine fibers. So we buy the finest we can get is about 18.5 micron here in the States, mm-hmm. Montana, Nevada, Colorado, Texas even. So there's a lot of sheep farms around America that are, you know, pumping this stuff out in very fine quality. The problem is they haven't had much demand for the fine, a suit, an Italian suit is like 14 micron. That's really thin. You try to make that in a shirt, it would fall apart. But for us, what we've done is we've taken the very fine fiber, made a jersey knit in a 4 ounce that you can wear next to your skin. I'm actually wearing some right now. Here, Paula, you can
feel how
fine that is and soft. It's so, you know, soft against your skin. You wouldn't think that about wool.
No, I didn't.
A lot of that is the yarn. We uh-huh. also do a worsted yarn, which we spoke about, and it's uh-huh. all you're doing is you're just taking these long staple fibers and spinning them parallel, so there's no ends sticking out that would make you
itchy.
Poke you and itch you. And a lot of people think, oh, I'm allergic to wool. No, a very small percentage of the population is actually allergic to the lanolin, the oil in the wool. Mm-hmm. What they're irritated by is just the itchiness. Mm-hmm. And they think that they're allergic, but they're not really. Yeah. So it actually can be very soft next to your skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we're, you know, trying to do is to promote that concept that you can have, mm-hmm. you know, a sort of a non-itchy wool, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we're doing, you know, with natural dyes, some colors we can't do the natural dyes, but we're working with a fabric maker that, you know, deals with the water treatment.
What's your hardest color?
Well, black.
Black
you can't
hardest.
Do black in a yeah. Uh-huh. This is an indigo, and it's real indigo. And this was actually very time intensive to make. You got to dip it, and you know, we actually don't even make an indigo anymore because of the amount of time and labor.
What about red?
Matter red.
Matter
and
red.
And that's okay. Matter roots.
Matter
yes.
roots. Yeah.
Yes. And that's a nice one. I love that.
Uh-huh. There's also an entire book written on the subject of the search for red dye.
Yeah.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. It's what's it called? I have it. If you want it, you can borrow it if you want. Yeah, it was really interesting all about how who in Europe, who could wear what colors. And the reason that you saw peasants in those sort of modeled earth tones was because that was the cheapest dye.
Right.
And then you got to
logwood gray and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got to, you know, the reds and the blues. Right. And they were really hard to find. It wasn't until they found the cochineal beetle.
Yes.
In Mexico.
Mexico, that's right.
And took it. And at first it didn't catch on. And it was so interesting. It was an odd little coincidence. I found the book and I was reading it because I have a fondness for red, for certain shades. You know, there's so many shades. So I'm reading this book and I just got into the part about the cochineal beetle when there was this little flurry on the news about, are there insect parts in your lipstick? And it was this whole thing about, oh my God, there's ground up beetle in your lipstick.
Right.
And I don't think it had legs. I don't think anybody gave up their red lipstick and I didn't hear much more about it. But yeah, that's how you get that deep, lasting red is through the cochineal beetle. Anyway, why don't we take a little break and we'll be right back with more talk about the first annual Wool Festival coming up May 17th and 18th in the delightful hamlet of Valley Ford.
And tell me where
my drugs away.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan live in the studio. We are talking about all things wool, including the wool festival that's coming up. And got a nice phone call. You know, there's from a hand weaver who wanted to remind us that Riley Street Annex. Riley Street was a weaver. It was originally a weaver's supply store back when Sonoma County had a lot more hand weavers than they do now, although we're starting to see that increase. And Paula, have you seen the yurt?
No.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared to go down this alley, so I don't have the name right now. If you really want to know, I will post something either on Mouthful's Facebook page or you can send me an email. Very interesting woman in West Santa Rosa got fascinated with wool. Mm-hmm. And she did wet felting. Uh-huh. She got wool from lots of local people. It took her a year. She built a huge yurt.
Really? Out of
huge
wool?
Yurt out of wool at her house using her driveway.
Uh-huh.
And wet felted the whole thing. And then,
wow.
You know, it's got a wooden structure, wooden skeleton. And then it was in her. It was set up in her driveway. And I got to see it. And then it was being set up at the wool festival they had out at Point Reyes a few uh-huh. months ago. So uh-huh. I don't know if it's going to be here. But yeah. It was this living structure
uh-huh.
that felt so good to be inside.
Uh-huh.
It was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And it was huge.
Uh-huh.
I
wow.
think,
it took a lot of time for her to do that.
It took a year. It took a year.
Yeah.
And several people worked with her.
Uh-huh.
But she taught herself the process. And now she sells little felting kits.
Uh-huh.
She just got totally into felting.
The wool. Uh-huh.
And another friend who actually used to be Mouthful's engineer and producer, Nancy Lorenz, she got interested in felting a few years ago, taught herself felting like that. I mean, she's extremely talented artistically, taught herself felting. And you can see Nancy Lorenz Felt Farm on Etsy.
Uh-huh.
She felts people. And they look like people.
Uh-huh,
and she actually felted Barbara Walters in a little black dress and black pumps and sent it and got a thank you note.
Wow.
And my younger daughter, Nicole, her wedding present, I got them she and her husband, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Nicole in her orange silk wedding dress. And
uh-huh.
Tom in his Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Uh-huh.
She felted them, and it looks like them.
Uh-huh.
And she's done a whole series of... She's done an amazing bird series.
Uh-huh.
Just an amazing bird series.
Wow.
And for her, it was pretty new. She just started uh-huh. poking the wool, and it started looking like things. And
wow.
I know that there's a felting class, or felting opportunity... I guess throughout the day of the Wool Festival, you can there's a felting booth for $10. You can make a felted project
uh-huh.
and learn right there. If you want to do something with your hands, it's a nice way to start.
It really is, yeah. It's also, kids love it. So if you have girls and you want to do something, well, probably boys would get into it too, but either
they'll
way.
Make guns.
Make, huh?
They'll make guns.
Well, there's something that you can do together that's hands, that's doable. You can get it done pretty quickly. Yeah, it's a great little craft, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the needle felting. That's where you just poke the wool until it looks like your best friend. And then there's wet felting.
Yeah.
And you just use water until you make a pair of shoes.
Uh-huh.
And it's really remarkable to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And it's also remarkable to see how, and you, Chris, you can probably explain this more, but as the fibers tighten, it will not only fit your hand if you make gloves or booties, which I want to learn to make, but then it's waterproof, right? Yeah,
sure. It wicks away moisture. Yes,
yeah.
Naturally repels. But wool also has amazing absorption properties too. It will absorb tons of water as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to wear wool socks if you're going to go out somewhere cold and wet.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fishermen and the those big huge wool sweaters. You know, they're out at sea. There's a reason for that.
Right.
Yeah. When in many of the knitting books that I pick up, you see the Guernsey sweaters, and they're just these incredible, beautiful sweaters, and it's always on the fishermen standing on the boat all day long with the wool against the elements.
And there's a reason.
Yeah.
And it breathes, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike some of these synthetic materials, you know, the sweat can get trapped in, you know. Wool is, you know, very versatile that way. The other thing that I think is an amazing property of wool is its fire retardancy.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit more
about
that.
Well, I only know this as being a consumer wanting to get a responsible bed and not wanting to breathe, you know, 8 hours a night, all these off gases from the fire retardant
chemicals.
Yeah,
and then find out that it's in mother's milk. Fire retardants are in mother's milk now.
And California is one of the strictest states with regards to these fire retardant chemicals in your bedding.
Yeah.
Well, the one bypass loophole is actually a wool with, you know, other things, cotton, foam, and whatnot, rubber. Or latex. So latex, cotton, and wool. That's our bed. And it's great. No chemicals. And we pass the, you know, it can be sold in California and passes all of those qualifications. So that's a great thing about it, too. Firemen are, you know, wearing it as well. And, it's great.
And then we'll say you have a bed and you're not going to get a new bed. Will a wool mattress pad, you know, protect you from some of those gases?
I don't know much about how long the off gassing continues after you've bought it, but I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Yeah. But just that property in and of itself, that it's, you know, fire retardant is one of the, you know, great aspects. It's such a wonderful fiber.
Yeah. Well, so the fiber is going to be celebrated. It's May 17th and 18th. People will be able to see the mill. They'll be able to take a felting class. What are some of the other things? Will local wool workers, or whatever we call them?
There's about a dozen vendors.
Okay. Also vendors, okay.
Yeah, or, you know, wool producers, people who make things. Like, one of sort of an interesting one is, her name is Robin, and she calls herself Lease to Garment. She's from Willits. There's another wool mill going in at Willits, I heard, too.
I heard that was on hold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard that was on hold.
Yeah.
And that was, I probably heard that in December.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. But anyway, she makes custom felted boots for kids and adult hand-spun yarn and other – she has a spinning wheel, so there'll be people spinning at the event that you'll be able to kind of dial into what they're doing. And so she's one of the vendors. And then there's Bodega Pastures is there.
Oh, great.
Hazel's coming with her wools. Karen from Royal Hair is coming from Santa Rosa. She's been dyeing and spinning for like 50 years. She has a lot of knowledge about how to do that. And she makes really beautiful things. There's other farms that I don't know much about. We do have, there's a place called Tactile Sensations that's coming. Busy Bee Fibers is coming, and I don't know much about them. There's about a dozen people who do different varieties of wool, plus there'll be, of course, the wool mill to look at.
Okay, yeah, hen's teeth and horse feathers.
Yeah, and she's llamas. She was one of the first llama people in the county.
And now, so llamas are interesting because they don't have lanolin, right?
I don't know.
They don't have lanolin in their wool.
Yeah.
They're referring to the llamas as the what's the fine wool from from China and everywhere else.
Cashmere.
I can't believe I'm forgetting what that's called. So the America's cashmere is the llama industry they're trying to
and alpaca too. And I know that alpaca doesn't have lanolin.
Alpaca.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be washed in the same way.
And there's some angora. I can't remember who has it, but there's some angora, which is rabbit.
There's Angora goats too, I think.
And there's Angora goats. That's
and there's a woman up off of, I think, Cherry Ridge. She was here once on Mouthful. She brought, I think she's been, working with wool for 60 years. Yeah. She brought one of her Angora goats.
Uh-huh.
Really amazing.
So, that whole world it's going to be represented at the festival by all different people who do different things. One of the sort of side things is Maya.
I was going to just ask about that. So, do we know much in this room about hemp fiber?
I know a little bit.
Is it still illegal to grow hemp for manufacturing? Because it was illegal, I think. About 10 or 15 years ago, there was a company that did hemp clothing and other hemp products. They were in Mouthful. They had to get their hemp from outside of the U.S.
Yeah. Canada. A lot of places are foolish.
It seems like we should be growing it.
Yes, absolutely.
So, what are the why is it a good fiber? I mean, it seems to have a huge range from, a nice little T-shirt to building materials.
Well, I mean, I think the primary use when it went to, status one or whatever the hell they call it, which is the same as heroin and everything else. I mean, it's completely absurd. And that was because of its use for fuel, for home.
Right. That's right. Fuel.
Yeah. So you got a plant-based fuel here. Well, that's pretty nice, especially during the Depression.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's very strong.
It's used for rope.
And
hemp rope. Absolutely. Sure.
Cannabis, canvas.
Mm-hmm.
There's the connection there. And for the war effort, we could grow here in the States.
It grows very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hardy plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could say the Ag Department is planning. This is the State of California Ag Department. I just went to a conference, a couple months ago. And they are assuming that within the next 5 years, some form of hemp will be legal.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
So they're planning. They're already planning how to regulate it. Uh-huh. So
now, when you say they're planning that it will be legal, are they talking about for ingestion or are they talking about for manufacturing?
That subject... They didn't say
anything. Oh, they didn't separate? Okay.
But they're saying, we're planning to regulate it. We're assuming within the next 5 years it'll be legal. We're already working on regulation. So I'm not sure which piece of it.
Okay, because my understanding is hemp for manufacturing or for fuel and even cooking oil does not have a high level of THC.
Yeah.
In fact, I think some have minuscule levels of THC.
Yeah.
So, you couldn't get high if you wanted to.
Right.
So,
and they still zap the bird seed, right? Coming in from Canada, they'll double make sure that,
a bird's not going to, eat a marijuana seed and get high. We don't want any high crows out there.
Or that you could put that seed in the ground and it would grow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silly.
Oh, I see. So they kill the life in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I had a friend. I can say this because he's no longer of this earth.
Uh-huh.
He grew. And he would put, before he sold to people, he would zap it in a microwave because he didn't want competitors.
Interesting.
He'd save his own seed but not let anybody else have it. On that note, we do need to hear from Van Morrison, I think.
Yeah.
like the sun shining over the mountaintop. You know I'll always come again. You know I love this band, my morning time. Watch the sunlight dancing on your skin. I've never gone so wrong for telling lies to you. What you see is what I've been. There is nothing I can hide from you. You see me better than I ever can. I'm on the road that lies before me now. There are some times where I will spin. Darling, I only hope that you will hold me now. Until I gain control again.
We are talking all things wool here on Mouthful, or almost all things. And I should tell you, a few weeks ago, I had several hands-on wool producers here on Mouthful. And I think we'll probably rebroadcast that show in honor of the festival that's coming up. And we had somebody who Mimi Luberman. She's been on several times, too.
Wonderful, yeah.
And she's got a sheep. A breed of sheep that actually produces black wool. And she also does natural dyes. And she sells roving. She says most of her customers are spinners, and spinners dye roving. And if you're walking through this Bastable Farmer's Market and you see those big tufts, long tufts of wool, that's a roving. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Sort of a counterintuitive name because you first think walking around.
Yeah.
So let's just look real quickly at what's happening on the 2 days. We see on Saturday there is sheep shearing, which has got to be really interesting, at 11 o'clock. At 11:30, Casey Mizucci, he will go through evaluating a fleece. Not every fleece is the same, certainly. Some work, some don't, but there are different stages. There'll be a demonstration on the washing of wool, picking and carding it, and then that's at noon, and then also at noon throughout the day, there's demonstrations of spinning and weaving going on. At 1 o'clock, Stephanie Larson will be preparing a fleece for fairs and shows. 2 o'clock, the wonders of wool. talking about the healthy properties of bedding, clothing, insulation, and upholstery. That's with Ariana and Casey. That's on Saturday. On Sunday, they'll be sharing again a lot of the same things. And both days, you can learn to needle felt. And then there'll be music from 6 to 10, did we say? 6 to 10, whiskey and... Okay, whiskey and something. That's all you need to know. And then there's
Free Peoples, right? Wasn't that
Free Peoples? Yeah. And a barbecue on Sunday. So, and is there no admission charge?
No admission charge.
Okay, but bring money in case you want to buy things.
Yeah, the food, there'll be Joe the Greengrocer will be there, and during. Each day, and then Cesar Vernier, who does the bone broth and the paella.
That's some of the best paella I have ever had. Cesar is wonderful.
Yeah, he's going to do a lamb paella, of course.
Oh, great. Perfect. Yeah.
And they've got Oyster Rockefellers right there. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right across, walk right across the street and, have an absinthe cocktail and some oysters.
Yeah. One of the places I've always wanted to go, and it's just down the road, is the little museum there. It was an old schoolhouse. So if you want a little diversion, you could go there. You could go over to the coast. The whales are running right now.
Yeah,
right?
I hear that we're seeing a lot of amazing whale activity.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot to do in that end of the county for that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. So gotten a phone call. Somebody wants to talk about the whole process. How do you get from that cute little lamb out there bouncing on the hills in the springtime to the shirt you're wearing?
Well, it starts with the shearing, which is usually in the this time of year in the spring, or earlier, depending on where you are in the States. And that gets, it's called a, you know, greasy wool, essentially. So, like you were talking about earlier with them washing and applying water.
Yeah, in the grease.
Yes.
That means that the lanolin is still there.
Still there.
And then when it's taken out, how is it taken out? Is it just with hot water?
I'm sure there's certain, you know, detergents that are used to remove the oil.
Might be Dawn.
You need some kind of surfactant to separate it out.
I think it's Dawn.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Your dishwashing liquid, Dawn dishwashing liquid?
Yeah, I think I saw, I'm not 100%, but when I saw it when Casey was showing me how it's done, I'm pretty sure he said
Dawn
detergent. That's a, you know, it's a pretty standard for a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to get out twigs and all sorts of stuff in there. You just get it cleaned up. And then it gets combed. And then before they get to the roving or the tops, they card it. And so those are like little teeny needles that are on these paddles that you kind of scrape across each other to you know, lengthen the fiber and kind of tame it a little bit. But
that's
carding.
I still have my hand carders somewhere from when I really wanted to. When I was a country girl in Lakeville, I had a drop spindle spinner and I had my carders and wanted to live that life. Mm-hmm. Well, just wanted to really slip into a Thomas Hardy novel. And it's sort of, Sonoma County has always reminded me of Thomas Hardy country, of his fictional Wessex, especially those rolling hills out in Lakeville, and then out through Two Rock all the way to Valley Ford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very much that's sheep
country. That feel to
that's
it.
Sheep country and dairy country.
Yeah.
And when you went through combing and carding really fast. And I don't know if the mill is going to be up and running, but first of all, the wool, after the wool is washed, they have drying racks. Yes. And it will dry, big drying racks at the Mercantile. And they can put them outside in nice weather, and it'll dry really, really fast.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a, I don't know if this is a carder or not, but there's something that you hand crank it. Mm. With all the needles, and rather than the two hand carders, and then there's also to make the batting. I think there's a mechanical comber, and also a mechanical felter, which is like Casey counted the number of needles on this Felter. I think it was something like 8,966 or something. And that will make the really thick, you know, when you're felting, then that will make like the sort of thick or thin fabric, thick for insulation, for example, industrial insulation. And I think also for certain types of mattress pads. So, and then one thing, what happens to the lanolin? If you wash the lanolin out, is it reclaimed and ever reused? Because, you know, you can, lanolin is a product in hand lotion and other other things.
Absolutely.
So, okay, how does that happen? Does it, then, is the water caught and then somehow the lanolin spun off of, or the water spun off the...
You're not getting out all of the lanolin. That's very difficult to do. I think you're trying to get it down to like 5% or something like that. You know, we work with a company called Scherzer that takes the greasy wool in and then they process it and get it to basically the roving. And then it goes off to the spinner.
And so then that the water and the lanolin would go somewhere else.
That Scherzer has a way of... in their treatment facility of taking that leftover lanolin that they've taken out during the process, and I'm sure they're selling it as a byproduct.
And then back to your family business. Again, it's Rambler's Way Farm. What's your line of fabrics? I mean, do you, you do the fabric, but then do you also produce the clothing?
Yes, we work with, we're vertically integrated, so we're buying the wool from the farms around the West, as we talked, and then we're, you know, working with various... manufacturers throughout the process to get it to a final, you know, shirt, pant, underwears. We do all sorts of next to skin products, so your basics, long johns, stuff like that. But then we also get more refined and your contemporary wear, sportswear, a little heavier, nicer with, you know, we're using silk thread and nut buttons. We also have some pearl buttons and or
so is, and do you do both
shell buttons, I should say.
Both gender, male and female?
Yes, male and female. We do sweaters. We do dresses.
Oh, you do?
We just got an into cotton as well, so that's also very interesting. And then we'll do like, although we are known for our jersey knit, our lightweight 4 ounce jersey knit, we've gotten into woven shirts, which are, you know, weaving's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And but we've also got a lot in, around the French terry with wool, which is very nice because it can be soft but heavy and thick, and so and you know, like a robe or something like that. And people love that. They love the French terry. It's very heavy, as opposed to what I just showed you, which is very thin. so yeah, it's a whole line of from, you know, from a t-shirt to sweaters.
And how do people find it?
You can go to our website, ramblersway.com, and then we're working with independent retailers, both men's and women's stores throughout the country. We're in about 300 stores. And
are you in, you know, out in front of the Mercantile, the processing area is a little store.
Yes.
Are you there?
We're in her store, Ariana. That's why I'm here today,
Yes, I've definitely seen your stuff there.
Love her, and yeah, they like what we're doing, and so they have repeat customers who are coming back, because once people try it, they're like, wow, this is amazing.
Well, so. You're having a trunk show, so what is that? At the fair? At
we find out, you're having a trunk show
at
the fair?
It's just meaning that we're participating in, in the festival, and we're there to help people understand, educate, around what we're doing. Nothing more than that.
You won't be selling a line of your clothing?
She'll sell it. The Mercantile will sell it. They will deplete their stock. We're not going to bring any stock to sell. We'll sell through her.
It's very, I love their stuff because it's classic looking. I tend to have classic tastes. You know, it's really has a very quality feel to it, an ageless feel to it. Their styles.
Yeah, there's a classic element. Thank you, Paula. Well said.
Yeah, and I think about it now for next winter. I mean, I heat with wood. So I like something nice and warm for the winter months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will be definitely checking that out. How did you get involved in this, Paula? You manage the Sevastopol Farmers Market. You do a lot for farm trails.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to, we're going to slip in one other thing really quickly here before the hour's up.
Okay.
But how did you get involved in this?
Well, I heard that they were doing it. And I went, oh, I have to go out there. I have to tell her that I want to play with this one. So I went over there and I met her. And I'd already met her briefly at the at the Basque event. And so I said, you know, if you want help, I want to play with this. Well, because I love the whole thing. I think it's important that, you know, that we shift the way we think about clothing.
Absolutely.
To something that's, you know, more real and more sustainable and more humane, and not throw the throwaway crap, you know. It's just,
no,
I'm just
kidding.
So sick of it.
Yeah.
So she said, of course we need help. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We only have 2 months to do it. Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, great. Well, good for you. But you've also got, I don't know if you're involved in this, but probably you were involved last year, the barn dance for Farm Trails coming up. What's the date of that?
I should know
am I putting you on
too.
The spot? I know it's towards the end of the month.
I'm not working with Farm Trails right now.
Okay.
So I don't remember the details of life, but it's definitely on their Facebook page and on their website.
Yeah, and I will be writing about it in Mouthful, the column.
Good, and Daniel from Backyard is Cooking, who I totally love.
I was just there last night. I talked to him last night. I was at the restaurant and had just read that he would be cooking.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, to me, a wool festival, wool mattresses, wool quilts, and barn dances go hand in hand.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
The culture of sheep, right?
The barn dance is May 31st at 5:30.
5:30 until?
10.
Until 10. Does it say who the music is?
It's Cahoots, I know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Cahoots. I keep wanting to have Cahoots on.
No, I don't. I can't see it, but I guess it is.
Yeah, Cahoots.
Yeah, it is. I remember that part. It's Cahoots. And the menu is, you know, a locally sourced, so it's going to be really good. Sample Creek is doing beef. I think Wyrock is lamb. There's a whole collection, if you look on their website, of who the source of the food is.
And where is the barn? Which barn is this? Is this the
they're doing it at Steve Dutton's, I think. No,
oh,
I think they're
right.
doing
it's
at Steve Dutton's.
It's at Dutton Ranch.
Yeah,
that's right.
In Sebastopol.
Yeah, it's at Dutton Ranch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So. Which is always fun to go to Dutton's. I love going. I love Steve Dutton. I think isn't he one of the great guys on the planet?
Yeah, he is. You know, it's entirely possible to live a life that focuses around what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can get not so much off the grid. I mean, you can go that far if you want to.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the time and energy to go that far, you can do all your shopping or almost all your shopping now at farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a little bit at a local market, like for, you know, a little locally owned market. You don't need to go to national corporate chains. I won't say any of them, but you don't need to do that. You can head west instead of east and not get in so much traffic. You can go to the mercantile to shop. You can go to barn dances, you know, and you can actually, you know, that essence.
And it really
Sonoma
changes
County.
The world. You're changing the world when you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, in my mind, what else can you do but do those little things to change
go
the
to
world?
The Grange.
You have to do something,
Join the Grange and go to the Grange potlucks, go to the Grange events.
Mm-hmm.
And you start by changing your world. You change how your world looks moment by moment.
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, you're changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I always think that's the only way the world is. That's the only way the world is going to change nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise some big, awful change will be forced upon us.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I've been reading about climate. I refused to read about it for a long time, but now I'm reading about it. It's like, oh, my God, I have to be much more conscientious and aware and, you know, much less wasteful and all that stuff. It's so serious.
It is.
So,
it is. And I think
wool
is definitely
a
way.
It's a piece of that,
On several levels.
It's a renewable resource.
Yeah.
It's hair. It grows back.
Yeah.
You know? It's simple as that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you're not just using something that is renewable, but you're using something to a large degree that's produced anyway and thrown away, so you're not throwing stuff away. And if you're wearing wool, you don't need other power so much. You don't need other sources of energy, for example, to keep yourself warm.
Right.
You know, you wear a pair of wool booties
and
wool long johns in the winter, especially if you're around home or if you work at home.
Yeah,
or when you go out, you wear, you know, under your dress and your boots.
Well, what, I have wool socks on that are done by Nani Belden from New Moon Farm in Petaluma, and I tried to get her to come to the event, but she's
the one who sells at Sebastopol.
Yeah, at the Sebastopol.
I have two. Next year, I get my third pair of her socks. I'll have all three colors.
Yeah. But they're fantastic. They're fine when it's not too when it's hot. I mean, it got hot today. It was cold when it started, and it got hot, and it was fine. Yeah. They're just wonderful things. And my quilt is 20 years old. My wool comforter is 20 years old.
It'll last another 20 years.
Until I'm dead, right?
Yes. Yeah. And on that note, I want to thank both of my guests. It's Chris Chappell. Chappell from the Incubators and from Rambler's Way Farm, ramblersway.com, and the wonderful tireless Paula Downing talking on behalf of the first annual Wool Festival coming up May 17th and 18th. And next week we are going to be hearing a rebroadcast of a show from the author Laura Shapiro about her book Something from the Oven, Cooking in the 1950s. It's a perfect tie-in with Mad Men, but she's also, I'm a huge fan. She's a brilliant, brilliant writer. She wrote Perfection Salad about the domestic scientists of the late 19th century. She's really one of the great food academics in the country. So that will be next week here on Mouthful. So have a great week. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Take care of the earth, okay?
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.